it can be downloaded and be made available and transcribed using software so that you can produce a record of it without, you know, anyone hitting keys or anything. Why do you just start by telling me or listeners in the future who you are? I mean, what your background is. So just a formal note, who are you? You know?
Right, Piero Liano, I'm Italian. I've worked for the WHO now for, I'm on a sabbatical for a year with the University of Oxford and Lincoln here.
Yeah.
So background infectious diseases, I'm an MD, infectious disease specialist, and I've been working for the past 25, 30 years in tropical medicine.
Right. Where did you graduate MD?
In Italy.
In Italy,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. And then did PhD between Italy and France.
Uh-huh.
And been working for the WHO TDR for the past 22 years.
22 years, wow. Yeah. So have you been deployed in various tropical locations all over the world, or?
Doing studies a bit all over the world, between Africa, Southeast Asia, South Asia,
right.
Latin America.
Right.
Yeah. So specifically here for Ebola, I'm part of this team here in Oxford.
Right.
When
did you get the call to become part of this team?
Well, I was here just when it happened.
You were in Oxford?
Yeah, yeah. I was here. And so we got this funding from a grant from the Wellcome Trust,
mm-hmm.
to set up a clinical trial platform for Ebola trials.
Mm-hmm.
So specifically this one,
mm-hmm.
is with a product who's called TKM,
mm-hmm.
and it's got numbers thereafter, which keep changing.
Okay.
And produced by this company called Techmira,
yeah.
Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
They have this product has been the development of the product has been funded by essentially by the American DoD, Department of Defense,
mm-hmm.
And related to that, there's a number, by the way, of IP issues. It's both with the product itself, the way it is formulated.
IP and mean intellectual property.
Patent protected.
Mm-hmm.
Quite. Mm-hmm. By the way, there's a report has been produced on that. If you're interested, I can pass it on to you.
Okay.
And not just on this one, but others as well.
Yeah.
So how they've been funded, and to what extent they are patent protected.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But this one particularly is on top of one of the two products on top of the WHO list of products against Ebola, because it has shown not only activity in vitro, but also in animal models,
mm-hmm.
including the sort of the proof of principle, which is in non-human primates.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I read on the website that in non-human primates, the protection was 100% when challenged. Isn't it?
Yes. The important thing is also not just the degree of protection, but also when the protection occurs, meaning what they do, they infect the animals and then they treat.
Mm-hmm.
So the more effective the product is, the longer the time lag between infection and treatment can be.
Right.
So a product which is effective when it is given 3 days after an infection is more effective than a product that is only effective when it is given on the day.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is effective when it is given about 3 days after
really?
The infection.
Right.
So that's probably is the best evidence of efficacy that
mm-hmm.
we can have.
Mm-hmm.
From animal models,
mm-hmm.
so far, from experimental models anyway.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's a what is called a small interfering RNA. So it's a molecule that would, to keep a long story short, would interfere with viral replication.
Mm-hmm.
This is an RNA virus,
mm-hmm.
And essentially blocks the replication by blocking the messenger RNAs
mm-hmm.
for some specific molecules, some specific
mm-hmm.
key
mm-hmm.
molecules of the of this of the virus,
right?
Which are three in this case.
Which are three molecules, right?
Yeah.
It's targeting three of the messenger molecules.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
By the way,
mm-hmm.
This mechanism of action, RNA interference, has really been tried for other diseases, but so far, to my knowledge, there's no
mm-hmm.
drug that has been approved
by the FDA
of that sort. Right. So that would be the first one. So the complication with these kind of things is that you've got to deliver them.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, they are trapped within small bubbles, which are called nanoparticles,
mm-hmm.
which are made of lipids to facilitate them being picked up by
mm-hmm.
cells
mm-hmm.
and then entering
mm-hmm.
Into the cells and
mm-hmm.
and then matching the RNAs of
mm-hmm.
Of the virus.
Mm-hmm.
So where are we with that? So this was not readily available, so it had to be produced in a quantity which is large enough to
mm-hmm.
allow for a clinical trial.
Mm-hmm.
So the product's now available, and we have the protocol we have which has gone through ethics approval
mm-hmm.
review. Regulatory approval within Sierra Leone for to import the
drug. Right. So you fast track the ethical approval.
It's gone.
Yeah.
That's all done. All
right.
The boxes are ticked there, and we got a team now already there,
uh-huh.
Ready to start the study.
Right. So how many doses have you produced and being able to ship to Sierra Leone?
They produce 100.
100?
Yeah.
100 therapeutic?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that would be enough to...
to treat 100 patients.
Right. Yeah.
So enough to do a study.
Right.
And so Peter Morgan and I visited Sierra Leone a few weeks ago, just a bit over a month ago.
Right.
And visited sites again and met with investigators and the pharmacy board and the ethics
mm-hmm.
review committee and
mm-hmm.
then
mm-hmm.
to set things in motion.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially we are ready to start, and they are the problem, as you know, at this stage of the epidemic is that it's plummeted, although there's been a certain small surge in number of cases again.
Mm-hmm.
But the real challenge at this time,
mm-hmm.
this point in time, is to
mm-hmm.
be having enough patients to enroll
mm-hmm.
into a study. To
Right.
For the study to be meaningful.
Yeah. Where are these studies going to take place? What hospitals?
Well, we have a list of them.
Mm-hmm.
So we're starting with one. Actually, they are not hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
Say they are Ebola treatment
mm-hmm.
centers,
mm-hmm.
Which have been either built on purpose or
mm-hmm.
they repurposed other places.
Mm-hmm.
So we're starting with one with the an Irish NGO called GERN.
Called what? GERN?
Yeah.
How's that spelled?
G-O-A-R-N.
G-O-A-R-N,
I think.
Do you know what it stands for?
Got to find out.
Right.
And but there are other places as well we visited, particularly with the there's a couple of government centres as well.
Right. Are these in and around Freetown, or are they?
Well, this one is back at sort of upcountry, within a couple of hours' drive or less.
Uh-huh. What district is in? Can you remember? Or maybe you can.
It's in Port Loko.
Where?
Port Loko.
Port Loko. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But our counterpart locally, so the local investigators are at the College of Medicine, which is called COMAS, COHMAS.
COMAS, COHMAS.
Yeah.
It's College of Medicine.
And Applied Health Sciences.
Right. Who is the lead investigator or director of that?
It's Dr. Samai, but I'll give you all the details.
Okay, because I think it's quite important for me to also talk to
you have
African.
To absolutely,
yeah.
By all means, you
okay.
want to talk by all means,
yeah,
and I can give you the list
okay,
of the names
great.
Of the people to talk to.
Okay.
And by the way, if you're going now, you will have somebody there. Who's the sort of lead investigator in the country from here, which is his name is Jake Dunning.
Jake Dunning, yes.
Yeah,
I've already made contact with him via Twitter.
He'll be there.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
He's going to be there in March.
Yeah, yeah, he's
oh,
there
that's
now.
Right. Yeah.
He's there now.
Okay. So he's the lead investigator.
Locally, he's the sort of clinical coordinator in the country for us.
That'd be very useful, yeah. Right. I mean, lots of questions, but just to talk about this trial and the principle. So, you know, the idea of doing a trial of a therapeutic drug or even a vaccine while an epidemic's going on hasn't been tried very often, has it?
Well, that's... It's the only way of doing that, no?
Yeah.
So you can't do it otherwise.
Yeah. No, but what I'm asking is, it's very unusual kind of research to undertake, right?
Yeah,
I mean, it must bring with all sorts of challenges. I mean,
all sorts of challenges.
Okay.
Yeah, like you say, of course, because you have both the challenges of a clinical trial that has to follow the international regulations of GCPs,
mm.
so good clinical practices and everything in order for it to be used further down the line for registration or going well, of course. But you have the challenges of doing that in an emergency situation, plus the challenges of doing that with a disease that could be highly contagious when it comes to patients with symptoms or sick people, and all the nitty-gritties of that. So, challenges, you just name it, is there's no shortage of the challenges. So, you got.
Can I ask, were there any models for this sort of study or any that you could base? I mean, I suppose the model would be the standard model for doing a trial like this.
Yeah, that's course. Yeah. That's it's against the background of something that already exists, of course. So there's an issue about... so, again, models are all the rules and regulations for GCP and regulatory authorities demand. So that's one thing. The other thing is, so that's is there and exists, of course, it's got to be adapted to the situation locally.
Mm.
The second model is the different types of study design.
Mm.
And in this case, we used, we adopted the adaptive trial design, which allows you to essentially to answer questions minimizing the number of patients exposed and shortening the time that requires to get that answer. And again, I can give you the details about the study design, everything. So these are the sort of models. Now, the models that do not exist, then you have to sort of finding out as you know as you go along, are how to do all that in these two very special circumstances, which are an epidemic, meaning that it's not true anymore, but just a few months ago these places were overcrowded and the health providers there were just submerged by it and overwhelmed by the number of cases and the pressure and enormous pressures pressure they are under. And the second one is that you've got to do it safely for your personal staff for the staff, and the third one is of course that the people, the patients there, may be it may be very difficult for them to understand what's going on either because they are kids or because they are very sick. So
you said because they're kids, children.
Children.
Okay, yeah.
And they may be difficult for them to understand. There's a problem with language barrier, of course. You need translation. But they may be in, you know, so sick that it's very difficult for them also to understand. So how do you do that? Informed consent has been a big issue that we've debated, plus all the, you know, the small things, the details of how do you do things. It gets very difficult to even to get to talk to a person when you're wearing a PPE, a mask, and goggles, or a whatever you've got. So you're not even human. You're not a human being that they are talking to. It must be very intimidating, plus being sick as you might be with Ebola. So a whole range of challenges, and actually we are going to write it up in a paper. So that for reference, because like I said, it's so there's a number of obstacles and challenges all along, and even after you started the study, you think you got all your standard operating procedures, SOPs, in place. Yet you discover that it doesn't fit all the time. There are always some special cases.
So you're constantly having to adapt to the, the situation confronted.
And hopefully getting it right, of course. So you have to, you know, it's very challenging.
Did you yourself, when you were in Sierra Leone, you visited some of the centres? So were you did in order to sort of find the right place to do the trial? Did you have to put suits on? Can you just describe briefly what that procedure involved when you're trying to decide, is this an appropriate place for a trial? What were you looking for?
Okay, we have a list, a sort of checklist that we go through. Actually, if you're interested in, we can provide, of course. And we are also supposed to be writing a paper about that. The problem is time, as always. Lack thereof. Rather, so we so in terms of suitability, so there are many criteria. Of course, having patience is one, but of course this may change with time.
But in terms of the this is just some of the logistics. I mean, in order, what things have to be present in this Ebola treatment center for the trial to work effectively?
Right. So the the layout of the way it is set up, or whether it is conducive for doing study, if it is a mess, if it is just a sort of cluster of tents, and or if it is well organized, of course, that's very important. So the way the day-to-day functioning of the center that we have to look at, are they well organized, how they attain, and then things like having a pharmacy, having a well-defined protocol for admitting patients, screening patients, looking after the patients, and so on and so forth. Whether they've got a lab where the tests can be done, how efficient the system is. Essentially, sort of all these kind of things. And of course, there's a long list of things to be detected. And then, of course, you talk to people, you're trying to understand how they function, how stable the operation is, personnel rotating or not.
Just to be clear, so I understand, in this sort of trial, unlike a vaccine trial, you don't have a placebo control group.
You could,
yeah,
if you wanted.
Right.
In specifically with our trial design, we don't.
Mm.
We base our assumptions on case fatality rates just right before the trial starts.
Right.
At that site, in order to be able to be able to offer potentially effective treatment to all patients,
right,
as opposed to randomizing them to whatever they are getting today.
Right, but that goes back. So that means it's important at the site you choose that they had good laboratory diagnostics in place. Before you even start the trial.
Yeah, of course. Yes. Then, of course, one of the things that in this specific case has not been done in the past. Throughout everywhere, throughout and across all sites, it's been that there's been very little, I would say, no basic clinical medicine done. For instance, until very recently, blood samples have not been taken to check, for instance, basic liver function, renal function test, these kind of sort of things, which you would, of course, be doing here and more. So we, as a matter of fact, we have very little information about these very basic elements.
Because you need to know as much as you can about the patient's state of health besides, you know,
right,
the fact they have Ebola, yeah.
Yeah, the problem is that for, you know, probably there must be around about 23,000 cases that have been between confirmed and suspected so far. So I don't know how what proportion of them has been treated in centres, say probably a good more than 10,000 or 15,000, and of all those tens of thousand patients, we have no information about their, you know, liver functions or renal functions,
Or indeed whether they've had been co-infected with something like another, like malaria or any number of other.
Well, we sort of
do
know that for a proportion of them, and betas in May practice has been to give an anti-malaria anyway to all patients. So it's a sort of benefit of doubt, a sort of general practice has been to give patients anti-malarias and antibacterias, so antibiotics. So a sort of broad spectrum coverage between malaria and common microbes. So that's what has been, of course, mostly because also basic investigations have not been done. The reason why this has not been done is sort of twofold. One is that because every time you take a blood sample, you're exposing your personal stuff to a risk, not only when the sample is drawn, but also when it is put through the machine, as it were. So this is one. The other one is that for some very weird reason, people thought that that was not needed, that it was not, and even the people in this country who have been saying that that was research.
Yeah, sorry, I'm going to have to stop this. The background noise is just unbelievable.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, I think I'm going to just... Oops. I wonder if we can go somewhere a little bit quieter.
Yeah, I think that I'm afraid this. Well,